This is very true. We talked a little bit about America, okay? And we need to talk more about our nation and how God blessed our nation, why He blessed our nation, the United States of America, and what is our role? And do we have a role to play? What is it? And how can our role influence everything in this nation, even though we are not politicians or decision makers? The Bible said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He has chosen for His own inheritance. You know, when I studied the U.S. history, at the beginning it was quite boring. Okay? After you study Egyptian history and Egyptian civilization and the history of all civilization, you come to U.S. history, it is kind of simple. But as I read more about U.S. history, my eyes began to open because it was different from all other histories that I have learned. Most of the history I have learned was secular. It's amazing that this country was really established on God. The reason the pilgrims came here is actually not just for financial opportunities, because the land was very much occupied by the Indians. They came here escaping the persecution in Europe. They did not want to be forced into worshiping God the ways of man. They rejected the ways of the papacy. And they came here to worship God with all freedom. That's where the Protestant movement came from. And I love how our forefathers perceived the Constitution. When they sat down, even those who do not believe in God, the historians today, they look at the U.S. Constitution and they say, this is a miraculous piece. How did they lay such a foundation to hold a nation together like that? Here's how. Benjamin Franklin, very well-known scholar, very well-known congressman. When the leaders of our country assembled to write the Constitution, Benjamin Franklin proposed that each session be open with prayer. Franklin said, I have lived a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proof I see of this truth, that God indeed governs the affairs of man. This is the statement of truth. Doesn't matter what power, what government on earth, it is God that governs the affairs of man. You know, government cannot stop a tsunami. Neither a hurricane, nor an earthquake. They can try to go to space and do the best they can in everything, but it is God that governs the affairs of man. And that is how our forefather thought of this country. And that is how it was established. Next slide, please. How did prayer influence our nation and the lives of our leaders during time of great conflict? Those of you who studied the Civil War should know more about President Abraham Lincoln, who gave up his life believing in the biblical cause. You know, his mother Sarah, I love to read his story. His mother Sarah was a devout Christian. She taught him all the principles of liberty and justice through the redeeming grace of Jesus to every man. And during the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln said this, you know, 50,000 people were lost, and the president was not sure that there is an end to that conflict. He was hated and he was loved by his own people. And hadn't God intervened? You know, when I read history about what stopped the Civil War. Did you read that? Take time to read that. It is the miraculous hand of God that stopped the bloodshed and slowly united the confederations. It is a miracle. It was not a political power that brought this about. This is the space in history where historians are scrambling to know what really stopped it and brought the unity of the United States of America. Here is why, and that's what I believe happened.
President Abraham Lincoln said, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day.
What a humble man.
Then he prayed, O thou God that heard Solomon in the night when he prayed and cried for wisdom, hear me, for I cannot guide the affairs of this nation without thy help. Hear me and save this nation.
Obviously, he knew the Bible very well. He was a great attorney.
Right.
A great attorney. Yet he was also a great president. That is how God blessed the United States of America. Because our leaders, when they are humble, when they confess their limitations, and when they confess the monumentous problems against their own inabilities, and when they look to God for help, the Bible said that in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive the sins and heal their land. And this is not just only for nation, it's for every individual and every family. It's a blessing for me to know all of my inabilities and vulnerabilities and iniquities and sin every day. Once upon a time, I was very fearful of confronting my own limitations. You know, since we were kids growing up, even in our household, there is sibling rivalry, right? And if you were not raised in a home, if you were raised in another institution, there's always that I am good and I am better than someone else. So we fought all of these years the fight against ourselves, actually, because we fear to confront our weaknesses. And therefore, we fear to confront our fears. We don't want to look weak in front of somebody else. What a delusion that is. What we have really decided, that our well-being, our identity, can only be determined by what other people think of us. So in turn, we lived our lives with great many masks, trying to live our life to please other people, so through their eyes and through their words, we feel a sense of significance. And that is supposedly called high self-esteem. It's a waste. We have lived our life as social chameleons, trying to accommodate this group and that group and this group just to fit in and to be accepted and to feel approved of, loved, and therefore we get some sense of importance. If we are still going through that path, there is no need for that. God created every human being with a great purpose, as he created every flower with a great purpose. You know how many different kind of flowers on this earth? Brilliance. You know, just amazing. Whenever I see the problems that are unresolved in my life, I just walk into some fields. I look at some trees. I look at some flowers and I hold it in my hand. It just reminds me how awesome God is. Mm-hmm. And nothing is created by coincidence or without purpose. It is unfortunate that sometimes animals and birds and trees know their purpose and stay with their purpose more than human beings. That is the very reason why God gave us creation. So we can understand who he is and who we are through the life of animals and creatures and through the life of trees. Our traits of character can change if we learn to listen to all the heavenly lessons in nature. I love what David said in Psalms 19, that the heavens declares the glory of God and the firmament speaks of his handiwork. Day after day they utter speech. It is so unfortunate that we human beings live all of our life listening to one another and to everything else that is created by other fellow men. But very few people who live a long life on earth, a long life of peace, who are able to listen to the book of nature. Do you know that that is very much the second book that God created to communicate with his people and his nation on earth before there was a Bible? How did God communicate to the people of Israel? Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, and he communicated to Moses through the burning bush. And if you look at the Bible, it talks about eagles, talk about ants, talk about lions. The Bible is talking about everything else to help us understand that we have lost a great book that is still open and every day is preaching toward us. And the United States is blessed by such wonderful variation of creation. Everything we have here. And I'm very grateful for that. The blessings of a nation under God. We have already studied last week, number one, a mother leader and nation under God, and that is King who? King Hezekiah, very good. What do you know, what do you remember about him that made that nation under God very prosperous? What do you remember about King Hezekiah?
That they obeyed God. They turned from their sins and obeyed God.
I love that, Cynthia. God bless you. He turned from the sins of the previous kings.
Those kings were wicked.
And he took care of all of the idols. And he began to restore the sanctuary and the service of the sanctuary. And he gathered all the priests and all the Levites and all the leaders under him. Said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And he led, along with the priest, he led the procession of worship. And he asked God to forgive him, to forgive his nation and his people for the sins they have committed against him and against one another. That is why this nation had a national day of prayer. And you know, it's just ironic that people use that day for good and bad causes. The intent of it was exactly what Hezekiah has done. For God's people to take the chance to thank God for the blessings that he bestowed upon us as a nation. And secondly, to do something that is a must. If we as people is to have quiet peace and prosperity, we must, the Bible said, we must take the time daily to pray for our leaders and all the people who are making decisions on our behalf. Those decisions are affecting us directly. They are affecting our communities and they will be affecting our future. But many Christians are very much drafted into the emotions of politics. And they fight the battle of Democrat versus Republicans. And many Christians invest tremendous amount of money into politics. When the Bible is saying that we ought to be praying for God to do what is impossible for man to do. You know, I have been praying in the last 3 weeks, specifically, that the Lord speak to those in the stock market who are making decisions that is causing the price of gas to go up. And I have been praying for God to communicate to the leaders before their decision making. What will be the consequences of this decision upon them first, upon their families second, and upon their communities and nation third? I have been praying for that. I didn't ask the Lord, please lower the gas prices down. But in many areas, they began to come down. And the truth of the matter is, as I have lived, I have learned that those who pray for their leaders are least affected by their bad decisions. And those who do not are the most affected by their decisions. Okay, so we have learned from Hezekiah how God prospered and blessed and protected a nation. When Hezekiah did that, remember these 2 points, because that's why we need to pray. Okay, remember, there are 2 critical points that happened here. First, he gathered all the nation to confess their inabilities, their vulnerabilities, and their sins before God. All of us are sinners every day. Every Christian holds people inside that are sinners. Secondly, Hezekiah did not know what was coming before his nation and his people. He took the right step in the right time, and because he did, there was an enemy lingering around Judah. King Sennacherib of Assyria. He was very powerful. He already destroyed several of the cities of Israel, took them over. And he took over other nations who were not Israelites. And he began to build a fence around Judah to take on Hezekiah and all the people of Judah. Hezekiah did not see that coming. After his prayer, the enemy began to rise. And the army of Assyria was much better equipped and much more powerful than the army of Hezekiah and Judah. And when that army began to surround Judah, Hezekiah and the priest and the Levite had the house of God in order and went to the house of God with the prophet Isaiah to pray for the rulership of God over his nation. And because of that faith and trust in God as a nation under God, in that very night, the Lord sent his angel, and we don't know the method the angel used. You see, angels can stir seas. Angels can shake the crust of the earth. Angels can bring plagues. So we don't know the method that the angel used, but we know that early morning, as Hezekiah and the people and the nation of God were praying, when they woke up in the morning and they looked down to the valley, the army that surrounded them, 185,000 people were all dead and scattered. Hezekiah did not see that coming when he took the leadership to lead the nation under God. Secondly, we know what happened to him later, that he himself became very sick physically. And Isaiah said, your sickness is unto death. Get yourself your house in order because you will rest in peace. And Hezekiah prayed and told the prophet, I would like to live a little longer. Please, let us pray unto the Lord for that. And we know the second gift of faith and prayer, that his life was extended 15 more years. That is why God encouraged us to pray as a nation under him. Now, today we're going to be moving a little bit closer to the spiritual context. So let us open our Bible together to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What do we need to do as a people of God, as a nation of God, and as Christian believers in the Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of our country and on behalf of one another? What is it that we are required to do for our own good? So let us read verses 1 to 6. 1 to 6. That's number 3. I'm jumping here, so I'm not following the format for now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 to 6. Listen to this. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Are you spending time every morning giving thanks for all the blessings that you have and for all the people that God brought to your life? He said, first of all, we need to spend time in prayer giving thanks. Remember the acts of fervent prayer? I've already gone through these four conditions. Thanksgiving was one of them. You got to learn to give thanks.
Adoration.
Amen. You got to give thanks for all the people God placed in your life. And then he said, after that, pray for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. You know, I heard someone in Bible study and other people throughout the week very worried about terrorism. Oh. And of course there are reasons for that, because we were attacked here on September 11th, and we were told that people who hate us are so capable of causing us great harm, and 3,000 people lost their lives. Okay? Terrorism come in so many forms, and this past week, because of the death of Osama bin Laden, we have seen what his followers have done in Pakistan. And the truth of the matter is, this country is so open. And there is a legitimate reason why many people should be afraid. But the Bible is telling those who believe in God, those people who are under God, something that they can do, that they may enjoy a peaceful, quiet, and protected lives. What did the Bible say what to do?
Pray.
Absolutely. The Bible is saying in Psalms 91, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. For God shall send his angels to take charge over thee and to keep you in all your ways. But if you do not pray, and if you trust that your work, your money, your school is going to give you that protection, you're going to be very disappointed. Very disappointed that you did not take the time to truly pray for yourself, for your nations, and for all the decision makers on your behalf. Because the Bible has been telling us, in order to lead peaceful, prosperous life, we ought to pray for all men, and we ought to pray for our leaders and those in authority. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is good and acceptable. It is for our good, not for God's good. And the Lord is able to save us from all harm, including from Satan, if we call upon his holy name to do so. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due season. So if we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, then we have a Savior from the unseen danger around us and before us, exactly like Hezekiah. And it is our privilege. It is our privilege to pray. And the devil knows the power of prayer. And therefore, he has and will continue to give us everything else that preoccupies our mind. He will give us every earthly employment to godify ourselves, that we may forget to pray, or feel too tired to pray, or have no time to pray. You know something? The Lord sometimes will allow us to suffer great losses. And he will not permit anyone, no pastor, no friends, no family members, to come to our assistance. And that is an act of love. It's not punishment. It's an act of love, so you can remember who you are, and that you can sit down and examine yourself to see why everything is happening the way they are, and how did you lead yourself to this disposition. I meet with different people, and a gentleman came and told me that he's going through lots of things in his life, and lots of tragedies are happening. And as I am listening, I can see clearly the root cause of that. And he believed that perhaps money should be the answer to his crisis. And after I listened, he was hoping that I may give him some ideas how he can get some money. And I looked at him and I said, listen, I want to answer you very, very sincerely. I don't believe that money is the answer to your tragedies and crisis. I believe that the root cause of the problem is inside you. It seemed that you have created that crisis in your own life, and you were aided by other people who have the same traits of character inside. You just told me that you had lots of money. It comes and goes. I think it's a character issue that can only be resolved by the character builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said he was a believer. But you have to come to him just as you are and admit that, and then begin a process of self-discovery about who you really are. And that is very fearful for most human beings. Very fearful experience. Because to know who you are, you got to know everything about what you've done and why all of these events in your life, and you have to confront all of your follies and failures. And that is okay. Failure is the first step required for you to know success. How can you know success without failure? So there are two ways to learn success from failure. We can learn how to succeed out of our own failures, and we can learn how to succeed from other people's failures. If we took the time to examine life. And that's what the whole Bible is all about. If you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will see mankind struggling for the mastery, struggling to prosper. But you see even the most faithful, like Peter, failing. And you've seen people making the choices, I do not want to learn from other people's failures, so they live their own failures. And they decide, they still rebel and they don't want to change. But then you see other people who are always wise. And Solomon said that. It is better to learn from other people's follies than to learn it on your own. And that was all the preaching and the teaching of the Bible and the Bible studies are all about. How did other people fail? And how did other people succeed? And you learn from their failures. That will help us to be very slow in decision making. And when you are slow in decision making, you're becoming wise. Because you are minimizing your pain and maximizing your joy. And many people are able to delay their funerals by delaying some decisions. Because they think about it better. So we are learning here that we ought to spend time in prayer for ourselves, for those in authority. And trust me, the prayer of faith can move mountains. I got distressed sometimes over the many decisions that politicians are making, just like you. I got very distressed about it, and I got quite upset sometimes when I feel that the poor and the fatherless and the widows and the sick and the seniors are crushed. And having the heart of Christ, I kneel and pray. We have that power. We should exercise it more for our sick and the sick of our families. Okay? That's what history tells us. That's what the stories of the Bible tell us. That it is perfectly okay to examine our follies and failures, and to examine the follies and failures of others if we are to completely succeed. And that is going to come, by the way, in the coming sermons. Inactive Christians, proactive Christians, and reactive Christians. And every one of these lead a different kind of life. And every one of these should have a clear prediction what will be taking care in their own life in the weeks and months and years to come if they are not to change. You know? So we have to kind of spend some time examining where we're standing today. Now, let us go quickly to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible tells us something about ourselves and whom God desires to be. And he's also giving us instruction as a different nation. We are not just citizens of the United States of America, but we're also citizens in the kingdom of heaven. So let us read that together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look at that. We are a chosen generation if we choose to be part of that generation of Christ. And that's what Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 16. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. We are a chosen generation. This generation in which we are part of, God has elected us to be his own children, his own ambassadors, on behalf of our families and on behalf of our nation. And he said, you are a holy nation. What makes us so holy as Christians if we are sinners? When we pray and acknowledge our sins and our own limitations and vulnerabilities, the sacrifice of Christ suffices on our behalf. We don't just receive forgiveness, but also receive the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And the work of sanctification, that is becoming holy, is a work of a lifetime. And we become very much peculiar people. You know, I hear that from many young people who go to public school. Actually, I heard that also from many young people who go to private schools. And I hear that also from Christians who go to the workplace. That everywhere you go, most of the people do not know God and don't have the time to know God and mock those who know God. So we become so peculiar. That is very different. We talk differently. We dress differently. We act differently. And we react to problems and to problematic people differently. That is, if we are connected to Christ. And everyone can see something peculiar about us. And sometimes we ask to take that day off for worship, the Sabbath day for worship. And sometimes our own family call us, you are too extreme, too peculiar. Everyone else is living a different life, doing different things. How come you don't go to party? How come you don't drink? How come you don't do that? We are peculiar people. The Holy Spirit is working in us to make us his holy people. And that process is mainly the process where we can enjoy a good life on this sinful earth and then attain life eternal. So we are God's chosen people. It says, in the time past you were lost in darkness. Now you came to his marvelous light, and we are to show the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And in the past, we did not experience mercy, even though he was merciful to us. But now, through daily prayer, we can experience the mercies of God anew every morning. Anew every morning. Now, let's go to verses 13 to 17. Submit yourself to every ordinances of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Here you go. We have no choice. Whether you voted this way or that way, whether you voted for this governor or for perhaps this president, this is what we have. And the Bible is saying, as we pray for all authorities, we got to submit to them in the name of the Lord. We are not going to disobey God to please a king or anyone in authority. But we are to submit to the rules of the land and be law-abiding citizens. Will be the model and the example to everybody, in which I fail from time to time, especially when I'm driving my car. I am learning, and I am praying earnestly for God to save me from myself and to save me from the unseen danger, because sometimes it is yellow and turning red when I'm in the middle of the intersection.
Oh my goodness.
Okay? I try never to go through red lights, but sometimes I'm not paying attention. Okay, and sometimes the light turns yellow, and according to the book that I was tested on, yellow means what? Slow down. Slow down and be prepared to stop. That's what the book says. But my mind say what? You're running very late for your appointment, and yellow means you better get through it quick. Okay? But we ought to be good, law-abiding citizen and example to all those around us. So we got to submit to all authorities. Verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. He got to pray for the governor, and we trust that God over him is going to use him to really bring evildoers in a safe place. And to deal with them in ways that can help us avoid the snares of crime. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for the cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's put all things together. We need to spend a life that is honoring to God in our lives. That every gift and blessing he has given us, including the gift and power of prayer, including the gift of knowledge and wisdom, that we are not to use it to abuse others. And many Christian ministers and churches and people in government who call themselves Christians are using this maliciously to rob others their money, to oppress others, to scare and terrify others. When the Bible is saying, you should not be doing that. Don't use the blessings and the liberty God has given you for the abuse and the harm of others. We hear that all the time, I have the right to speak. And the Bible said God has given you the blessing to speak, but be careful because the tongue is a fire. It can fire and burn whole households and nations. But it says that the first place that got burnt is the source. Many of the fights that take place because of the tongue. Many of the fights that take place in school because of the tongue. And the spirit behind the tongue. And how do nations go to war? It's called the media propaganda. The tongue. Go ahead and create a demon. And then with the same tongue, get everyone behind you to fight the demon that you never see. Or maybe imaginary, never existed. The tongue. The first victim in every war is what? Truth. Very good. The tongue. So the Bible is saying, be very careful not to use your liberties and blessing, but for the honoring of God, to honor mankind, to love the brotherhood, to fear God, and to honor the king. Honoring does not mean worshiping the king. Respecting his position. You know, I sat down to think a little bit, who would want to be a president today? Having my own problems, I have my own family problems. God has gifted me with lots of good gifts. But I'm very ill-equipped to carry the problem of the whole state of California. Would you like to be a governor? How about the president over the troubles of all the 51 states? Would you like to be a president? No. So I therefore take the time to honor that. That there is someone who chose to carry all of these burdens even though a human being. Yes. And therefore I do have the responsibility to pray for the governor, pray for the president, and pray for every decision maker in this country on the local, state, and federal level. Now, why do we need to do that? And why do we need to take the time to do that? As I said, of course, that the decisions they are making are affecting us today and will continue to affect us tomorrow, and they will affect every generation thereafter. But there is more to that. And you can read that in Galatians chapter 6. Let us go that very quickly. Why we ought to pray for others and for our countries and for one another. Why do we have to spend time using our gifts to bless other people in the church and outside the church? Let us read this together. Galatians 6, look at verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Did you see that? If you pray for the salvation, the peace, the protection, and the prosperity of the country, you are the reaper. You are the reaper of all of this blessing. But if you do not, you are the loser of all of these blessings. You know, everyone else wants to be lazy and hoping that someone else would do the job. If you did not ask for protection, if you did not ask for blessing and prosperity, why would God give it to you? He said, what you do today is what you will become tomorrow. What you invest your life in today will come either to bless you or to harm you tomorrow. Here is the next verse. For he that soweth to his flesh, life is all about me, shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlastingly. If all your time is consumed about your own achievement, if all of your time is consumed about building your own wealth, if most of your hours of the time is really spent on yourself, to ease life upon yourself, upon your family. The Bible is saying, Jesus said that, what good have you done?
I know.
The Lord did not give you all of these gifts so you can bury it in yourself. And I use that term very openly. You bury yourself. The inactive Christian, here it is the one who is unable to use God's gifts and blessing as an investment in others. It's like a graduate with a diploma without employment. How does it feel to have a master's degree and yet without a job? The achievement is there. You have achieved academically, mentally, but unless you employ it, you are miserable among all men. And you experience all of the symptoms of lack of employment, of resources. Now, listen to the next verse now. When you see to the Spirit, that is, when you employ every gift God has given you to bless other people, what should you expect? Here it is. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit reap life everlastingly. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we will reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. See, the Bible is very consistent. God desires to bless us with every gift that we may live the abundant life that Jesus promised to give. He said, I give that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. But he said that the abundance of life is not in the things we possess. You know, I have lots of certification and diplomas at home. They're in a briefcase, no one sees them. Are they doing me any good? No. What is keeping my life going? It is what is inside and how I am utilizing it. That brings every outcome in my life every day. Now, if you go to work and you do not employ your knowledge and experience, will they keep you? Did I hear yes? If you go to work and you do not employ your gifts and knowledge, will they keep you on the job?
No.
Absolutely not. If you call yourself a Christian, a nation under God, and if you count many blessings God has given us spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, academically, and financially, and if you don't employ this in the work of God to bless your fellow man, will you inherit the kingdom of life? Now, we studied that this morning. Secondly, will these blessings remain with you?
No.
No, it won't. Jesus said it will be taken away from you and given to someone else who is so willing to use every gift and talent for the blessings of our fellow man. This is where the joy of life is. I have met with PhDs who are very depressed. They have wrote several books and they're very depressed. Because their investment is in themselves. They have money, they have properties in many different states, and actually they have properties in other countries. But they can't keep a family together. Neither are they happy. And all the friends that surround them, it's all about the money. But when they fell sick and ended up in the hospital, all realities came. And I hear from some of these that they came from Christian homes and how they rebelled against God. Some of them have said, my dad was a so-and-so pastor and I was serving in this church before I became wealthy. Inactivity and lack of employment of gifts eventually lead to losses, internal and external suffering. We cannot live on this earth happy if life is all about us.
No way.
And that's what the church, that's what God's people are for. A nation under God is a nation blessed with plenty. And the years that the United States was very prosperous are the years where they have forgiven other nations their debts.
Amen.
I remember those years under President Clinton. The country was so prosperous that the president took the time to think of other poor nations in Africa and Latin America to forgive them their debts. And not just that. They have sent tremendous amount of help. Medical help, social help, food and everything to other nations. Those were the 7 years of plenty. Then came the 7 years of famine, where the heart of mankind exalted and greed and the love of money and the God of money has taken control. And what happened? As it was in the days of Joseph. All of the prosperity were eaten up. And now we are in great debt as a nation because our heart and mind wandered far away from our God, the living God. And our heart and mind turned into the God of money, the God of self-centeredness. Self-centeredness, as I have shared with you, is true. It is first self-destruct. You lose something good inside you first. Then secondly, it is family destruct. It is church destruct, it is community destruct, and it is nation destruct. He says, while you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. That is our duty. Toward God, toward our neighbor, toward the church, and toward our nation. Now, Jesus was also asked in Matthew 22, they came to him and they wanted to find faults in him. Someone said, should we be giving taxes to Caesar, the Roman emperor? And Jesus said, why are you tempting me, you hypocrites? That's what he said. He said, give me a coin. And the superscription on the coin was the picture of Caesar. And he asked him, to whom is this superscription? They told him, it's Caesar. Then he said, then give what to Caesar unto Caesar, and what to God unto God. That's why we pay taxes, and we don't like to pay taxes because we feel we worked hard for it.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
Worked hard and worked hard for something, we don't want to give it back. Right?
That's true.
But you know, it takes lots of billions of dollars to provide us protection and liberty of conscience. I know that the system is not made for the hardworking people and it's only made for the rich. I know all of these injustices and God knows about it. But I'm very blessed because if I didn't come to this country, I would not have had all of these opportunities that I do have today. God has given me the health and given me the opportunity to get an education and to express my love and worship for Him at any time, any place freely, and give me the opportunity to be employed. To employ the gifts and the skills, and therefore He gave me the ability to earn a living. I don't mind under this condition to give the government their share. And there are two ways to do that. It is legal if you use all of the laws to avoid taxes, but it's illegal to evade them. Two different terms, okay? If you want to use all of the deductions, it is legal. So you can pay less taxes. But don't try to say the government didn't earn that. And many people are saying that. Therefore, I'm not going to give it to them back. You know, eventually, the government will catch up with you.
That's true.
And you will be working for them for the rest of your life. Or you will not have a life. So that's why the Lord Jesus said, give what to Caesar unto Caesar. But the same principle apply when it comes to giving the Lord his share. You know, this is true, and I'm going to share that with you. I have seen that to be true in my life and in the life of many people. God gave us 100% all the time. 100% in everything because His blessings for us are perfect. Every good gift comes from the Father above, who have no variableness or shadow of turning. And He said, you know, this is the mark of my love. I want to give you this, but you got to invest back 10% for my people. Do good unto all mankind, especially unto them of the household of faith. Give back 10% and keep 90% to take care. I promise you will have more than what you need and more than what you ask for. And that has been very consistently true with rich and with poor. But here's what happened. When we do not render to God what unto God, here's what happened. And you can examine that. Don't hold it against me personally. Just take it with you and examine that in life. In time, it will turn around. God will take the 90% and let you live on the 10% because that's exactly what you wanted to do. I have seen that happening to many people. In His time, slowly He will take away because you can't handle the gifts and the blessings, and the Lord will never give us something to hurt us. If the God of money will be an obstacle to our salvation, out of His love, He'll take it away. You know, I never preach on tithe and offering.
No.
It's just something for us to remember, because if you examine what has happened, what had happened, what is happening, what is to come,
yes,
keep this in mind. Malachi chapter 3 is the word of God Himself, and it's also true. So we have an opportunity to honor God, to honor our king and our nation, to pray for everyone authority, and don't forget to pray for one another.
Yeah.
And to honor the Lord with all of our gifts and substance. Okay? So that is very important, and this is very much our duties toward God and toward man. Finally, I'm going to read 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let us read those together. Because it's going to be the introduction for the upcoming series of sermons. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, 16, and then 19 to 21. Here's what we need to do in the following week, and I hope you go ahead of me. I hope that you pray and you study the Word of God. It's for your good and our good. The Bible says, study. To show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. You wouldn't know truth until you study.
That's true.
And you won't be able how to use truth unless you apply it. But shun profane and vain babbling, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. You know, many people reason their way out of God's vision. They reason their way why they should not honor God, why they should not honor the king, why they should not honor their neighbor. They reason their mind out in all self-centeredness why they should not be sharing the gifts that God has given them where God employed them. It said, you know, avoid this and don't get into conversation that really bring you to the state of ungodliness, because your own losses will be greater and therefore your suffering will increase. Okay? It's very important. Now let's go to verse 19. Nevertheless, here it is, very important to know that that is the case in God's church today, God's nation. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having the seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Try to acknowledge your struggle with sin and your struggle with selfishness, and try to turn that to the Lord. He is able and mysteriously turn everything in your favor. Every problem will be an opportunity. Every loss will become a gain. It's just amazing. Amazing. And verse 20, but in a great house, in the church of God, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also vessels of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. We can be the cause of honoring ourselves and receiving honor, or we can be the cause of dishonoring ourselves by the choices we make. So, verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Obviously, we have a choice to be honored or to be dishonored. To believe and trust God, to be Lord over our lives and every gift and resource He has given us, to choose to place God over our leaders and over the affairs of our lives and our nations and the world, or to choose our own way and to forget that it is God who is the source of our every good gift on earth, and to live a life of self-centeredness. And to forsake and forget, to pray for others and to pray for our nations. It's a choice. Two choices with two outcomes. I choose to be part of God's holy people. I choose to be part of God's peculiar people. I choose to be part of God's throne, His church. I choose to pray daily that Jesus alone take the reins of my life in strength and in weakness. To take over our families, to take over our state, to take over our nations and all of our rulers and decision makers. I choose to place Jesus Lord over the whole world, over all nations and over those in Egypt as well. Because I have family there. And I have been praying. Events there are not good. But God is able to do and to bring something wonderfully good out of nothing good. And I trust that. I pray with all my heart that you do not, and that I do not take any of the blessings of today for granted. It may not last. If I have the liberty to pray, do it now. If I have the ability to pray, to praise, to study the Bible, do it now. I visited a gentleman who was good and healthy. And suddenly he became blinded through an accident. We have the ability to read the word of God now. You better hide it in the tablets of your heart that it may come to save you in time of darkness. If you have your mind healthy and intact, and the Lord been calling upon you again and again to pray, pray that your brain remain intact, that your health is still intact. If you are able to go to work and earn an income, don't take it for granted. This journey ended already for so many people on their way to work. If God has given us all of these wonderful gifts of life, enjoy them, but invest them and do good unto all men, as the Bible says, especially unto them of the household of faith. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand together. Our God, you are the source of our every good gift and life. Lord, look in the past. We knew who we were. And we look today, we see who we are. We thank you for every gift and blessing. Forgive us for the misuse or the abuse of all the blessings that you have given us. Lord, we are very uncertain about tomorrow. But we know that you are God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We commit our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our love, our will, our lives, and our purpose to the full control and guidance of your Holy Spirit. Help us to enjoy the blessed life you've given us on this earth. Through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in all manner of knowledge and wisdom in all decisions of life, for ourselves and our families, for our fellow man and our neighbors, close and far, we pray for our nations and all of our leaders. As we pray for ourselves, Lord, we pray that you open the heart and mind and soul to recognize the truth that can set them and their families and our nation and other nations free from distress. I pray that you show them the consequences of their choices as you show us the consequences of our choices. If it is good, show us the great blessings and show them the great blessings thereof. If it is evil, show us, I pray, and may you deliver us from all evil. For we give you alone the glory and the power, the preeminence, the dominion, the rulership, and the lordship and the saviorship and the provision over our lives, our families, our communities, our state, and our nations, and the nations of the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.